Turned On with Sue and John is brought to you by Eden Fantasies. Ready for a little undercover fun? With Connection, you are always on a secret spy mission for the most intense orgasm that will not be detected by anyone. This is more than a vibrator. It's your partner in crime for a sneaky escapade or a third accomplice when you're doing the nasty with your partner. Get yours at EdenFantasies.com/turned on or click their banner at turnedonpodcast.com.
This is the podcast for passionate, sex positive, and pervy people. Entertaining and informative discussions about the latest in sex and sexuality. From ethical non-monogamy to kink to dating and romance and everything in between. She is legendary syndicated talk show host and sex therapist Sue McGarvey. He is notoriously naughty international radio host John the Milkman Milky. This is Turned On with Sue and John.
Spring fever, Sue.
Well, it's freezing this morning, but it's coming.
That's what she said. Hi, it's John Milky and Sue McGarvey, your pervy friends here on Turned On with Sue and John. Let's get right to it. You've got a listener question, and of course, they are always welcome through our website, turnedonpodcast.com, or direct to sue@sexwithsue.com. Someone looking for a man with a small penis.
Yep. Question was, I need a guy with a small dick. Sex hurts with a big one. How do I advertise for it? And there is a small penis site. There is a dating site for people with small penises. And you'd be amazed at how many women are like remarkably like fine with that. I had a friend who, you know, I had a number of clients, and I'm one of the few therapists online at the Sex and Sue site that has a lot of information about small penises because it's a really popular question. And I was telling a girlfriend of mine that I had this number of guys looking for partners, but they were worried that they had a small penis. And she's like, man, that would be great. You know, I hope he's really good, you know, with his tongue in his hands as well. And then I'd be over the moon. She said, it hurts a lot of times. And she says, my favorite sex is anal. And I can't have somebody who's really big. She says, I'm all in for somebody with a small dick. So I think that a lot of people are really worried about it. However, there is a whole subculture of women who want that. There's also a group of men who want to be humiliated for their small penises. So if you've had a small penis and through that process have said, you know, that time it has gone from being concerned and embarrassed to now being a fetish. They really want to be humiliated and told about their small penis in order to maintain their erections. So,
Sue, how would you define a small penis? What is a small penis?
All right. So average erect is 4 to 6 inches, but it's now being closer to, you know, 5 to 6 in North America, mainly because of the growth hormones in the meat and the milk. We have a lot of younger men that grew up, you know, on all these hormones they feed animals to make them grow faster, who are hung, really hung. And if you're one of these tiny size zero girls and you got a guy who's like, you know, hanging to his knees, what are you doing with that? It becomes, you know, Chihuahua and Doberman kind of scenario. So having somebody who's average or small. So I would say a small penis is less than 2 inches erect, but 2 to 3 qualify, especially if it's not very girthy. Right. If you look like a bowling ball because it's wide and big, sometimes it doesn't hit all those spots, but you need to be a minimum of 2 inches erect. And if you're not, then you're considered a micro penis.
This is Turned On with Sue and John.
We have the most interesting conversations on this podcast. Next up, Sue, dinosaur butthole.
Oh, I know.
Where are we going with this?
It was in Science Magazine came up with, apparently they found a dinosaur bones that in the first time in history of dinosaur bones, they found one with an intact sort of cloaca, which is C-L-O-A-C-A, which is basically an all-purpose hole. Right. So what happens is the one size fits all funnel for sex, pooping, urination, and reproduction. And that's, and you know, lots of reptiles have them. That's what crocodiles have.
Right.
So
I would think a lot of fish too, right?
That, yeah. So it's this, like this one tube, and that's how they, yes. So that's how they lay eggs. That's how they have sex. That's, it all comes out. But apparently previously, you know, they have, they found some, you know, fossils, but oftentimes that very delicate part of dinosaurs' nether regions is often eaten by scavengers or exploded due to gas as they decompose. I went, ooh. But apparently what they're realizing is that there were glands for scent and color changes, kind of like baboons. Have you ever seen a baboon in heat? Like I saw one at the zoo and I couldn't, like, it, like screaming and bright red. But
if you've ever seen anal gaping,
right,
it's kind of, well, it's a lot like that, actually.
It is a lot like that. It's a lot like that. Yeah. So that idea of having glands, so they weren't sure that, you know, the dinosaurs showed their fun, you know, their fun little holes and people that changed color depending on when they were receptive to it. But they found fossilized dino privates. And I thought it was fascinating because how else do you know? How would you know? But apparently very much like, it's kind of got a little, it's got a, like a little button on the top. It's kind of like a bulge. So that's where, and then it's a little slit. So just so you know, in case you've ever wondered what dinosaur, you know, genitals look like, you've heard it here on Turned On with Sue and John.
Turned On.
Hello, pineapple people. We're talking to you right now. A segment we call, So... You're a swinger.
Or you want to be, which happens a lot. I get a lot of questions. Go, Sue. I've been thinking about this. Questions about, you know, about swinging. And there's a couple called Wanderlust Swingers. I think they're from Australia. But they have been over to over 30 different countries swinging. And they talk them. They describe themselves as a sociosexual or social swingers, and they want that mental and friendly connections before pants are off, right? Pants on before, you know, they're off.
Right.
But what they were talking about is how different swinging is in different countries, and I have experienced that. I have been to a number of different countries, you know, doing lifestyle conventions, etc., and very different. I remember there was a couple who were there from sort of parts of Europe, and they went to it. They were at a swing event I was at, and they're like, why are people getting on? Like, we come in, we go, you know, we have make eye contact, and then we immediately find a bed. I'm like, ooh, you know, we're Canadian. We're a lot more polite than that. We have a conversation. We may play pool.
Yeah, we're Canadians. We're followers more than we are leaders, right?
Well, they said, yeah. And when I went and I toured Cap Dag, which is the, you know, we've talked about it briefly before, which is the nude community in the south of France on the French Riviera.
Right.
I was there for 3 days. It was unbelievably expensive, but it was a very interesting place. So Cap Dag is a nude, and they have a beach, a nude, big, very famous nude beach. And at one end is sort of families. Middle is the gays. And at the other end are the swingers. And so if you're on that part, like, they're approaching you. And that was the time I was telling you I was reading my Kindle and I had guys around me jerking off. And I'm like, you're in my seven, piss off. But the idea was that they had very different, like the German girls. Oh, my God, the German girls. They were, you know, anything goes. Mm-hmm. Five guys at the same time, mm-hmm. every hole, spit roasted, like the whole bit. And, you know, the French girls were very... you know, much more elegant about it. And I was just sitting wide-eyed in the corner going, holy shit, I am no longer in Kansas. Because in Kansas, it's certainly more sex than it is in Canada, where there's a lot more talking. But it is more about, you know, what you look like and how your nails are and how what clothes you wear. And it's a fashion show. And then you take your clothes off and you get a different outfit. And then they were bringing duffel bags to the club. I'm like, I have no, like, if I can get one outfit that works for the evening, I'm doing well.
It's ironic, isn't it? We're going to a swingers club and we're bringing multiple changes of clothing.
Multiple, like five, six changes of like skanky outfits and different shoes. And I'm like, wow, that's impressive.
I love it.
Turned On with Sue and John.
our kinky confessional on the way. Just a reminder, you can head to our website and anything at all as it pertains to sex and sexuality, curiosities, things you're into right now, etc. You can confess them at turnedonpodcast.com. No email address required, no phone number, no nothing. If you'd like to email the show directly with a question, you can do that. Send it to sue@sexwithsue.com and Sue, a letter here from someone who has to have sex with the lights off.
Yeah, they have body image issues and they want, they said, I just can't be seen in light. And I'm like, for a lot of guys, it's visual. I know you'd be like, what? You know, you're all gorgeous. Let me see the girl bits. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I know you. Even though you're an audiophile, you would definitely want to see
I
them.
I am, but I'm also a photographer, right? But I'm a guy.
Right.
You're right. Guys are very visual creatures. And I understand the body image issue. I'm telling you, and I've said it before, what guys are really into is a sexy attitude. I will happily be with a big girl. If you got a sexy attitude, bring it on. I'm into it.
Yep. And she said that, and I, you know, there's this whole movement called body neutrality, which is appreciate your body for what it does, not what it looks like. And that body image is, you know, beauty standard, which is a construct. Right. And that it's okay. And I can say that. I remember the first time I did a boudoir shoot, I had this beautiful girl, like petite, beautiful, stunning, younger. And she said she had a 3-year-old and she said her partner had never seen her naked.
Wow.
She had only, and so she was really working on her body image and she was sobbing. I had a female makeup artist, a female photographer. I ended up having to stand in there and tell her blonde jokes until she stopped crying.
Aww.
Because she was so, and I stood there for the whole time and just talked to her through it and just told her how pretty she was and how, and she wasn't nude. She was like, you know, I don't, you know, it was more than, it was less than a little black dress, but not much less. It was just something that she was doing this for herself and her partner and really struggled with it. And there are people who do. So I'm not going to say just fluff it off. What I am going to say is candles. I have, and I'm anybody who gives me a candle, I thank them. And then I give them it away. I have to regift it because I know I'm going to set the house on fire. I'm really klutzy and I will forget. So I do not, if there's some things you know about yourself, I don't accept candles from people. So I have those electric candles that you can, yep. You know, you push the yep. button and it turns on. But honestly, the lighting, like if I'm going to do a photo of me, I look, it's soft lighting. I'm a woman over 50 and away go the lines. I'm telling you, you look beautiful.
Here's a suggestion, if I might, Sue. Put a red bulb in one of your lights in your bedroom. Start with that. Red light is unbelievably flattering. If you look at professional boudoir photo, a lot of it, you'll see red light in the background. Now, it's properly lit beyond that with soft romantic lighting. But red light, the way it makes curves look, the way it makes the skin look, especially on a female, really, really flattering.
Really flattering. So look at yourself, like objectively look at yourself if you do it by yourself and take some photos and go, this is what my partner sees. And the truth is they've fallen in love with you. You know, we all have struggles. I was bitching about things were feeling tight last night. I'm like, clothes. I'm like, I've got to get, you know, the cottage got to open up because I've got to swim more and walk more. And but it's we all struggle with it. And it's been going on since childhood. Be gentle with yourself. And know that your partner wants to see you and loves you and you are a goddess. So don't worry about it.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
This has come up on the show before. I'm glad that it's back because I don't think people can hear this enough. How to make dirty talk seem less weird. It's not a natural thing for a lot of people, Sue.
It's really taboo. It's out of our comfort zone. But it can be explicit and naughty and sexually charged. And apparently there are two kinds of dirty talk. One is a mutualistic, which is basically sharing with your partner, feedback, compliments, moaning. The other one is individualistic, which is me focused, my fantasy. And what it does is it leads to your sexual satisfaction, but not necessarily the relationship satisfaction. It's taboo, but there are 8 main categories. So one is the domination and submission right off the top, because right. that exchange of power is so incredibly sexy. One are instruction statements, you know, touch yourself, good example of that. Mm-hmm. One are, you know, questions. Do you like it when I do this? One is positive reinforcement. You're good at that. Oh, good girl, right? The others are intimacy, ownership. That's my hooch, right? Fantasy, which we've talked about, and reflexive. That's just when you go, ah, you know, that.
Wake the neighbors. Yeah.
Wake the neighbors. That's exciting. So how do you make it less weird? I'm glad you asked. Using phrases that turn you on to start. Right? Stress, you know, that saying, don't stress about, you know, every time I got to say something different. No, don't worry about it. You can say the same thing over and over again for a while. I like reading. I can read anything without a blush. Like, you could give me the raunchiest passage. I can read it. No problem. And I may be able to read it in an intonation that turns you on, but it's very hard for me to like, I don't feel like I'm that good a creative writer, but if you can practice it, some people do it really naturally. You want to pause and start again, because the pauses, right? It's about timing. And you want to debrief. And if all that fails, just start moaning.
For me, it's theater.
Right.
If you really want to incorporate dirty talk into your bedroom, it becomes theater. So you need to adopt that character. So you need to get past who you ordinarily are and all the bugaboos and all the obstacles you put in your way. We talked just a few minutes ago about body image, for example. Put all of that aside. And if dirty talk is something you really want, you need to assume that character. So yeah, get reading. Who is this character that I'm going to develop in the bedroom? Get rehearsing lines. Get practicing these lines. Because the more you do it, the more you get past that hurdle of this is awkward, this is weird, this is not how I was brought up, etc. If you'd like a great example, may I offer one, Sue?
Oh, absolutely.
On Pornhub, of all places, I discovered she's a pro-dom. She's British. But you want to talk about theater? She's not ever naked. She's completely in control of her submissive at all times. And everything on all of her videos is her dialoguing and only her. So if you want to hear how a woman especially can really own it and really do some dirty talk, give a follow to Young Goddess Kim. I found her on Pornhub, but she's got OnlyFans. She's got a whole bunch of other things. Her website, I think, is Young Goddess Kim as well. A great example of how you can really get into a character and do some serious, sexy, dirty talk.
On your knees. Now. Where you belong. Right from the bottom to the top, like a good slave.
Good. Such a helpless slave to my desire.
This is Turned On with Sue and John.
Remember last week, Sue, I got in trouble, so to speak, from one of our listeners because I didn't say on your knees the week previous?
Yes.
And then last week I did. I'm not feeling it this week. I'm in a very submissive mood this week, by the way.
Okay. So anybody who's a little dominant looking to put John across their knees, please reach out. I'll happily pimp him out.
Oh, you know. I am just, yeah. So collectively, listeners, on our knees. Yeah, that kind of works. Mm. Time for your kinky confessions, which, of course, you can get to us. Confess anything you want, completely anonymous, at turnedonpodcast.com. First up, Goddess has informed me that I will remain in chastity until at least the middle of April. Before she left for work this morning, she informed me that I am to pleasure her after work using only my fingers. You could not possibly wipe the smile off my face. See? That's exactly... Yeah, that speaks to me. That's exactly the kind of mood I'm in right there.
But chastity until April? Like, no. Like,
why not?
I tried it for 4 hours on somebody, and I'm like, ooh.
Oh, I could do that.
Like, they were chafing. They were sore. They were like, I don't want to hurt anybody.
Well, then they're in the wrong device. If they're chafing, et cetera, then they're in the wrong device. Get them a different device. I could do till April. 100%.
Could you?
Sure.
100%?
100%.
Yeah, it's hard to clean all those those places, but
removable shower head.
Taken off.
Removable shower head and you're golden.
Okay, or golden. Yeah.
Or you can ask for certain permissions, I suppose, if you want to.
Shower daily. Yes. Clean boys are sexy. Okay. Clean boys are sexy. I'm sorry. Daily showers.
Like I said, that really spoke to me.
Okay. Well, I'll have to ask around and see how people feel about that.
The truth is out. Milky's more of a switch than he is anything. Kinky confession number two. It felt so deliciously naughty to be on my work Zoom call this morning, knowing I was dressed in panties, stockings, and heels. I'm a man, by the way. I think we gathered that.
Underneath your table.
Good for you. That's fun.
I loved that you can do Zoom calls. I may or may not be wearing pants, but you know, you could do that, right? Nobody knows.
Well, now I'm curious.
No.
So, you know, we're on Zoom and stuff.
We're on Zoom calls. Yeah. Yeah. For a long time, especially when it's hot in the summer, man, I don't want to wear anything.
Mm-hmm. But good for you. Mm-hmm. I love it. This is what the Kinky Confessional is here for. I know you couldn't tell your best friend that, but you can tell us, turnedonpodcast.com. Also, from the Kinky Confessional this week, my husband and I went to see a live band last night. After a few drinks, we were dancing, and she kissed me. It took me by surprise, but a while later, she put her arms around me, looked me in the eyes, and told me I was beautiful. She proposed that we all go home later and really make out in front of our husbands. I declined, but I woke up drenched this morning. I have to confess, it's all I thought about last night.
Very hot. Yeah. You know, just to try it. I like it's the part about tormenting your husbands. I think that's the fun part.
And yeah. I like that both are going to get tormented too. Thank you for your kinky confessions this week and every week. TurnedOnPodcast.com is where you can submit yours.
Turned On.
You had another interesting conversation with our friends at Eden Fantasies this week.
Oh my God. I love Eden Fantasies. And, and they are I think, globally, they are the sex toy company that are most concerned about their customers. You know, they're not the Doc Johnsons and the Cal Exoticas that send up all this, you know, that had all this trashy pink silicone stuff. They're really lovely. Anyway, a lot of them are based in, you know, Eastern Europe and places like Moldova. And they're so sweet and so nice. And they were wanting me to talk to their customer service team of about eight who answer questions. And they answer questions about, okay, my toy isn't charging anymore. What do I do? And which button does this? But they apparently get more than 50% of their questions are questions. So what do I do? I want to auto fellatio myself. And what do I do? And so you get a question like that. And they're legitimately asking for information about how do you do that? And sometimes there are penis extensions and sometimes there are pumps and things you can increase your size. And sometimes there are different flavored lubes and they know all about the products. What they wanted to do is basically be sensitive to everybody's different needs. And they're just so charming. So you want to buy a product and ask their customer service things exactly how to use it. Apparently it comes with all these videos and you can do different things to make sure that you are in the know and having the best possible experience with your toys, because their goal is for you to have the orgasm that most closely relates to your fantasy. So I've been thinking about it ever since. What toy would most closely resemble my fantasy? I don't know, but I'm going to spend the week thinking about it. I'd be really interested to know about yours. If you want to send it to me, sue@sexwithsue.com.
I happen to have four different items in my Eden Fantasies cart at the moment, as a matter of fact.
Well, and then if you get them, then you can call customer service and see how they are.
Eden Fantasies, you can connect with them through our website, as a matter of fact. Just click the banner. Could not be easier since you're on our site. Anyway, Eden Fantasies.
Turned On.
The perfect rhythm for a blowjob, Sue.
Yeah, there was an article about it, and I think it's in the eye of the beholder. I was talking to somebody who says they still swear by the grapefruit blowjob. Do you know about the grapefruit blowjob, where you take the grapefruit and you cut off the top and you cut off the bottom and you make a little hole in the middle and it's a sleeve?
Yes.
But it stings. Messy. Holy shit, is it messy?
Why did they go with that fruit of all the things that watermelon makes a lot more sense, I would think.
Well, it's big enough to hold, but anyway. So they, you know, I've heard somebody sort of holding out a pumpkin, but that's another story.
Cantaloupe, honeydew. I'm here to help.
You are here to help. But apparently it is used. So somebody was saying that what is the perfect, they polled a whole lot of guys and asked what the perfect rhythm was. And they all said messy as fuck. The messier, the more saliva, the more lube, just mess. They all like that.
You're killing me here, Sue. You are killing me today.
All right. Stop it. Stop it. Oh. I'm going to tell you. Yeah. All you need to pay attention. As your head and using your hand to slide down the shaft as your mouth goes down. So they're saying that you want to find the rhythm that works best for individuals, but messy, use your hand and don't worry that your mouth can't, you know, if it may be big or whatever, or how you're breathing. It's really that combination, but make sure you're moving your hands in combination with mouth. Those were the three techniques. Was just find a rhythm and stick to it. Use your hands in conjunction with your mouth. And if your mouth can't go very far, make sure your hands make the difference. Move them a lot and get as messy as you possibly can. That, my friend, is a secret.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Sex in the news.
Yes, it's time for sex in the news. It's so exciting. So there's a bunch of things that have come up. It starts with Jenny McCarthy, who was, you know, Playmate of the Year. Yeah. And she went to the Playmate parties and she said they were awful, but there was an incredible amount of sex. They would invite pretty close to 30 men for every one girl, and that a lot of the guys were ugly and over 70 with lots of money, and it was Viagra Central, she called it. But she said that the tips were incredible. She was able to pay off her parents. You know, they sent them on a cruise when the first Playmate came out, and they were able to send them all off and pay off all their bills. I guess her mother disowned her for only 3 days. And but she said,
I'm angry, but I'm over it now. Parties. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Number two, we have sex in space. You know how much I love that.
Sex,
you know that I'm wanting to volunteer.
Space.
Apparently, it's not the Mile Club, it's the 245 Mile Club. And it's quite a challenge because nobody has admitted to having sex in space. Nobody's even admitted to having masturbation in space. And even at the space station, it would have been near impossible to find a private corner. But they're coming up with an orbital hotel, and they're going to do this quite a challenge to figure out how to, you know, overcome gravity and do that. So I think that the really bendy gymnastics people should go up and see if they can do it. But man, I would love to try that. As they, you know, I gotta befriend, like, I don't know,
Elon Musk
or something. Yeah. Yeah, somebody like that. Jeff Bezos to say,
go with Bezos. Musk is a little weird. Yeah. You've already got a weird friend.
Yeah, that's true. So the new thing that's finally hit the Webster's Dictionary is called abrosexual, which is A-B-R-O sexual.
Okay.
Someone whose sexual identity fluctuates and changes, kind of like you this week, right?
Oh, my God.
Your sexual identity is all over the place. And what happens with that? But it's now apparently in the Webster's Dictionary. Yeah, I know. And finally, somebody was saying that they're having issues with, you know, different kinds of teenagers saying, my penis is too big for condoms. Can I use a garbage bag?
No.
I once did a talk at a school, middle school, about, I was invited in, I guess the vice principal saying, Sue, they're having people putting plasticine over their penises or kids in the schoolyard. And I'm like, no, that's not, because they knew they had to do something to cover it up. Didn't have condoms. And I'm like, they're molding plasticine. But no, garbage bag is not going to stay on. No, you can't use plasticine.
I'm going to throw Ziploc bags in there. Don't do that. The poop bags for picking up after your dog. Don't do that. Saran wrap is fun, but not for that.
Not for that, no. Yeah. And there are condoms for large penises.
Yes,
they're generally expensive. So I feel for you, but don't do that.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
And finally on Turned On with Sue and John this week, scheduling sex like going to the gym.
It is. She says it's like my gym class. I'm like, okay, I could actually get around a gym class like that. But they have this new shared calendar. And even if you just use a Google Calendar, It's, you know, what do? You put things in it. So there are stories. Now, I have friends who whose kids see pretty much every movie in town and had a hell of a time during the pandemic because it was part of their weekly thing that they would put, you know, $40 into the kitty. And every week they'd send their kids to a movie and said, you are not able to come back for 4 hours. This is our, you know, and that's what they would do. And so they would pick a time and I would go to the movies and this would be the sex time for their parents. Somebody else was saying that they always went to Sunday school. She says, my parents weren't religious at all, but they would send the local Sunday school because we could walk because that was our sex time.
Wow.
I know.
You're right? Going to hell for that, by the way, person, of all the things.
She said, we got a good Christian education and their parents had sex, but without a babysitter and they could walk to it. They, you know, it's something you look forward to. You know, you can take a shower. There's no pressure to have sex outside of that, but it increases the intimacy. So if you value it, it's not to say it's lacking in spontaneity. It's so important that you make time for it, because if you're in a traditional long-term relationship, if you sit around and wait for spontaneity to hit, you could be too tired. And if in a long-term relationship, if you're doing it, you'll be thinking about it. And stats across the board are saying, this is what you need to do. So try it. Just try it this week. If you've not been scheduling sex, put it in the calendar, you know, from now to midday, you know, whenever, and over the next few months and see if it works. And if it does, I definitely want to hear from you. Sue@sexwithsue.com.
Thanks for tuning in and getting turned on with Sue and John. New episodes every week. To get in touch, find us online at turnedonpodcast.com. Until next time, stay naughty.